Stephen Curtis Chapman has been touching lives for Christ for a long time. He's written worship songs that you have listened to, sang along, enjoyed in church and in your car. Songs like "His Strength is Perfect," "My Redeemer is Faithful and True." He wrote an anthem for Christian adoption when he sang "When Love Takes You In." He shared his grief at the loss of his daughter Maria in a tragic accident by writing "I'll Dance with Cinderella," a song about loss and eternal hope. I'll never forget watching as he was invited to come to Colorado to sing at the memorial for Cassie Bernal and other victims of the Columbine Massacre. But he also wrote another song to the most important person in his life, his wife, Mary Beth. It was one of those songs that at first he never intended to sing publicly, but as time went on, he realized other people needed this as much as he and Mary Beth did. You would think that when you're a person like Stephen Curtis Chapman, well known around the world, singing to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, that everything would be fine in your life. But that hasn't always been true for the Chapmans. They've been open about letting folks know about the struggles they've been through in their lives. He is the ultimate extrovert. She is a true introvert. He's comfortable in the spotlight. She would rather stand in the shadows. He loves exploring new places and encountering new people. She's happy being at home, surrounded by her family. They loved one another, and yet somehow they were drawn in different directions and different things appealed to them. And because of that, there were times when they had structure and friction within their family life. Some years ago, all those differences piled up on them. They were almost overwhelmed by the challenges. Mary Beth's testimony is that a time came when she wondered if they were going to survive as a family and as a couple. And in the midst of that, Stephen Curtis Chapman wanted his wife to understand the depth of his commitment to her, to understand just how far he was willing to go to make sure that everything was okay in their home and in their family and in their lives as a couple. And so he sat down and he wrote a song for her. He wrote it to bless their marriage. And this song expresses the depth of his vow to her as her wife. I was going to quote it to you, but I thought, why should I do that when Matt Snow can sing this very special song of commitment to his wife?
Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, thank you.
In so many ways, one of the deepest expressions of the blessing is simply to say, I will be here. I will be here. No matter what happens, no matter whether it's easy or hard, without exception, I will be here. There's nothing that's going to change that fact. I will be here. I have made a commitment to you, and I will be here. Whether you're saying that to your wife or your husband, your children or your grandchildren, your friends or the people that you love, I will be here. It's also the heart of the fifth of the five biblical qualities of a blessing. We've been through those over the last few weeks. We've talked about the fact that giving a blessing means meaningful touch, that it leads to spoken words, that they express high value and they picture a special future. And this morning I want to talk about the glue that holds it all together, active commitment. If you're going to give a blessing the way the Bible describes a blessing, then it comes to a conclusion by saying, I will be here. I am committed to you. It is this step that puts the bless in blessing. When you make an active commitment, you're not only speaking a blessing, you're committing yourself to making that blessing become a reality. You are saying to the people that you are blessing, I am telling you what God has planned for you. I'm speaking that blessing into your life. I am making that commitment. I know God has something special, and I want you to know I'm going to be there to see you through it all. Whatever may come, I'm here. The Bible gives us many examples of that kind of active faith, that kind of active commitment to being a blessing. But there's one that brings that power to life, and it is the name of Barnabas. This morning, as we look at the conclusion of how to bless your family, I want you to look at Barnabas and the way he was chosen by God to show us how to give an active commitment to faith. So let's jump in and let's see what it has to say. It tells us Barnabas was the very image of active commitment. It's evident every time you appear in the Bible. You know, we all talk about who do you want to meet? Who do you want to meet? Mark just sang that beautiful song for us. Who do you want to meet when you get to heaven? And we all have different answers. Of course, we all want to meet the Savior. But then you have people say, someday I want to meet the Apostle Paul. Someday I want to sit down with Moses. Someday I want to listen to David as he sings. I want to meet Barnabas. What a great example. What a model of what it means to encourage other people. To really understand the character of Barnabas, you need to understand that was not his name. Acts 4:36 tells us his given name was Joseph. So how did he get the name Barnabas? Well, the apostles gave him that nickname. You know what it means? It means Mr. Encouragement. From the time they got to know this man in the early church in Jerusalem, they said, there's a guy you turn to when you need encouragement. This is the sort of person you need in your life. They knew this is a guy who would always be there with a prayer of faith, an expression of trust, who would say, I am there to support you. You can count on me. I don't know what anybody else is going to do, but I'm telling you, I am here for you. Barnabas used encouragement as a blessing of active commitment in the lives of the people he loves. And we all need a Barnabas in our lives. We all need that person who will say to us, I promise you, no matter what, I'm there for you, I'm praying for you, I'm thinking about you, I'm lifting you up. You know, long ago I learned that all of us have two kinds of people in our lives. All of us, without exception. The first kind of people are the VDPs. Those are the very draining people. You love them, you like to be around them, but when you leave them, after you spent time with them, you always do the same thing. You know what you do? You know what I'm talking about? Those folks that just kind of take the energy out of you. You love them, you care about them, but they have such emotional needs and personal needs and spiritual needs that they just kind of drain things out of you. VDPs all have the same favorite word. me. You can always tell when you've been with a VDP because that's what you're going to talk about. Let's talk about me. Let's talk about my needs, my desires, my wants, my prayers, my hurts, my feelings, my desire, my hopes. Me, 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 me. When, you know how you can tell when you've been with a VDP? When you walk away from a VDP, you feel the same way a parent of a young child feels after an afternoon at the swimming pool. You know what I'm talking about? Watch me, watch me, watch me. Don't watch them, watch me, watch me, watch me. And in so many ways, that's exactly the impression you get when you've been with those folks. You love them, you care about them. Some of them are your favorite people. But you just kind of walk away going, whew. And we all have VDPs in our lives. But we also have a second group of people in our lives. And those are the VEPs, the very enriching people. You look forward to the time you get to spend with them because when you spent time with a VEP, when you walk away, you feel like $1 million. You feel like you could lick the world. They have built you up and made you feel so special that you are full of energy. It's like a cool drink of water for your soul. VEPs also have a very favorite word. You know what that word is? You. Let's talk about you. What's going on in your life? How can I help you? How can I encourage you? How can I support you? How can I take care of you? They make you feel like the very most important person on planet Earth. I have an Alabama Baptist friend who really has this gift, and just a couple of days ago, I heard from him again. About once a month, I just get a text from him. And you know what it says? It says, Jim, how can I pray for you today? And I'll respond, you can pray for me because this is happening or that's going on. This is happening in our church. This is going on in my family. And I send it back to him. And you know what happens? In about 2 minutes, I get a specific prayer back about exactly what I just mentioned to him. It's not one of those, tell me how I can pray for you, and then they move on and never think about it again. It is, Lord, bless my friend Jim as he encounters this, as he faces this, as he challenges this. Boy, we need people like that in our lives, don't we? Barnabas was the ultimate, very enriching person. Every time he shows up in the Bible, he's making a positive difference in somebody's life. The first time he ever shows up, he's selling land in order to bless the first church. He's not giving them money to gain recognition or to build his reputation. He just saw a need, and he met it. He stepped out, and he acted in love. It just made sense to him. Later, God used him to bless one particular person, and through his act of commitment, he changed not only a life, he changed the face of history. You see, the most important thing Barnabas did was to make an act of commitment to the ministry of a young man named Paul. And in his relationship with Paul, we discover some principles that you can take, and you can take to your house, and you can take to your marriage, and you can take to your kids, and you can take to your life, and you can take it and use it. Let me show you what Barnabas taught us. Barnabas taught us that active commitment reveals itself in personal presence. Acts 9 tells the story of Paul's salvation and his calling. You remember how he encountered God on the Damascus Road, how the Lord struck him down, how the Lord made him blind, how he heard that voice and he found his way on into Damascus, how Ananias came to heal Paul's blindness. And it describes how Paul received the Holy Spirit and began to preach Jesus in Damascus, even at great peril. But Acts 9 also describes what happened to Paul when he made his way to Jerusalem, when he sought to join the apostles and the other believers, about the obstacles he faced when he got there and sought to be a part of the church. It was almost impossible for Paul to be accepted. You can't blame those people. They knew his reputation. They were afraid of him. They knew what he had already done to people. They were skeptical about his salvation. They thought all of this was a setup. And they didn't want anything to do with Saul, who had once condemned and persecuted the church. Everybody kept their distance, except one man. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he'd spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And what was the result? So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Barnabas taking Paul to the church made all the difference. He actively bridged the gap between the two. Barnabas met Saul somehow along the way, and he sat down and he listened to his story, and he decided he would put his own reputation on the line, and he carried him to the apostles. He carried them to the church, and he said, "You can depend upon this man. You can trust this man. God has changed this man." And on the weight of Barnabas's encouragement, they brought him in and made him part of the church. When it comes to giving a blessing, nothing takes the place of actively investing yourself. You may look around and think to those folks that you love, "Okay, I'm going to bless them," and you can speak a word. God bless you. I see great things in your future. God has something special planned for you. And that's one thing, but it's another thing to get down with people and actively invest yourself in their lives. To say, "Because of what I see in your life, because I see the potential that God has placed there, I'm going to tell you something. I'm putting my reputation on the line. I'm putting my time on the line. I'm putting my attention on the line. I'm putting everything on the line because I want to see you become everything God has in mind for you to be." Nothing you can give, nothing you can buy, nothing you provide comes anywhere close to giving your active presence to the people you love the most. Particularly when your wife knows you've chosen to deliberately set aside time just to be with her. Particularly when your husband knows you're really not interested in what's so fascinating to him, but you're there anyway. Especially when your children realize that you have said no to other things in order to say yes to them. In other words, when you have said, "I put my life on the line. I am committed to you." But understand this. You have to be present. You also have to be actively present. One of the things I have discovered in these days of social media is it's possible to be there and not be there at all. Have you ever sat down having a conversation with someone? I remember being out on a trip one time, and I was walking out going to find some supper, and the man who was leading the trip said, "Well, have you got anybody going with you?" "No." "Well, I'll go with you." So we went, and we sat down in a restaurant, and we ate a meal while he checked his email. If he ever looked up at all, I don't remember it. I kept thinking to myself, "Why am I here?" And yet we do that to one another all the time. Have you ever tried to share your heart? You're really opening up. Something's really bothering you or really concerning you, or you're really interested and you're telling somebody all about it, and all of a sudden you notice all they're doing is this. Or if they're really sneaky, they're doing this. Now you ask the question, "So were you present?" "No, not really. Honest truth is, in my heart, in my mind, I was a million miles away. I just happened to be physically where you are." When you put everything aside and focus on the people you love, what you're really saying is, "It is all about you. I am not with anybody else. I am with you." Never underestimate the power of that person in your life who says in word and action, "I will be here. No matter what others may do." And then Barnabas teaches us this. He teaches us that active commitment brings out the best in others. Sometime later, word came to the apostles, "God is doing amazing things in Antioch. People have gone and they've begun to share the gospel, and folks are responding, and this church is growing, and it's almost out of control. Somebody needs to come and help these people. Somebody needs to come help this new church get on its feet. Somebody who can equip them and encourage them as they become what God wants them to be." And the apostles looked at one another, and what do you think they said? "Barnabas. Barnabas is the perfect guy. Could anybody do this better than Barnabas could? And they sent him to Antioch, and he organized that church, and it continued to explode. Acts 11 says he was every bit as effective as they thought he would be. The Bible says he encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. He is having an effective ministry. One of those kind where Barnabas could have said to himself, man, look at all of these people. Look at how they're responding. Look at how the church is growing. I could do this for the rest of my life. And he could have settled down and been Barnabas, pastor of one of the most active churches in all the world. But that's not the way he was wired. Barnabas understood God had a better plan. So the Bible says, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. He went looking for Paul. He said, I've got to have you. I've got to have you where I am. God can use you in a special way here. Paul, who is still continuing to grow to understand the ministry God's called him to, all of a sudden he's asked to come and work with Barnabas and be part of what he's doing in Antioch. And so he came, and Paul would bless the church, and the church would challenge Paul as he grew in his effectiveness for the Lord. Everything Barnabas had planned worked. And a year later, we discovered this testimony, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Man, that worked. It always does. Active commitment brings out the best in the people we bless. When they know you love them and you're there for them, they will do anything to please you, to respond to your leadership, to recognize what your encouragement means in their lives. They are challenged to live up to your expectations when you are actively committed to them. If you ask my son today, who's one of the most important people in your life? Who has affected you and influenced you more than almost anybody? Without blinking an eye, he would talk about his high school baseball coach. And he would talk about the relationship he had with his baseball coach. And he would say, coach would yell at us, sure, we'd make a mistake, we would mess up, we might even hurt the team. And he would take us aside and he would let us know we'd let him down. But he said, after he finished telling us what we'd done wrong, he would always take us to the side and he would show us, this is what you do to make it right. And then he would say to us, I believe in you. Now get back in the game. Is it any wonder that that team experienced so much success that over the years they've had a state championship in Haleville? That young men have gone through that baseball program and moved on to colleges all over the state of Alabama and outside of Alabama, and some have even gone further. All because they had someone in their lives who was actively committed to them. Active commitment brings out the best. And then active commitment sends people forward. More time passed. God revealed that his plan was to send the first missionaries out into the Gentile world with the gospel. And God called on the church there at Antioch and he said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And the church blessed them and sent them on their way. And during that first missionary journey, the Lord used Barnabas in a whole new way. The Lord used Barnabas to send Paul further ahead. Now let me explain what I mean by that. So God called Barnabas and Saul to go out. They made their first stop. They made their second stop. And as they left that second place, the Bible says something really incredible. In Acts 13:13, the Bible says, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga. Now what's so important about that? Two things. Number one, Saul is gone and Paul is there. Now we don't really have any biblical record of why they changed his name. But we know this, he's not Saul, he's Paul. But more important than that, this marks the last time that the Bible will ever say Barnabas and Paul. And the first time that it says Paul and Barnabas. From now on, Paul got first billing. Here's the key, though. The encourager was absolutely comfortable with that role. Barnabas knew he was helping Paul fulfill the potential God had given him to be a great force for Christ. Barnabas couldn't remain in God's will and say, hey, wait a minute, this is about me. I'm head man, I'm first billing. After all, I deserve it, I've earned it. People know me. This ought to be me and Paul. Instead, Barnabas was willing to support and encourage Paul and to let him lead the way. Because that's how active commitment works. Remember, it's all about you. I will be here for you. Active commitment would rather give attention than get attention. Finds more satisfaction in seeing someone you love become more than they ever thought they could be than seeking to have all of the attention focused on yourself. It finds fulfillment in seeing the people you love become everything they have the potential to become in Christ. Over the years, one of the things that's been one of my great privileges in the churches I've served is, in all of the churches I've served, God has called young men into ministry. Not just young men, but gifted young men. Men with a special passion and a special vision for Christ. Young men like Nathan, as we watch him grow here at First Baptist. And always I've said the same thing to each one of them. If I'm doing my job in your life, I'm going to walk you to the end of the pier that is my life. I'm going to put you on a boat and I'm going to wave as you go places I will never see. Because God has put a great gift in your life. What more important thing could we say to the people we love than that simple statement? God has placed a great gift in your life. He has an incredible plan for you. You are going to see things and do things for Christ that other people could only dream of. Bless you. Bless you. God has called us all to bless our homes with meaningful touch, with spoken words, with high value, with bright futures. But it all begins by saying, and I will be here. I am committed to you. How can you make that kind of commitment? It begins with a basic realization. You can only make that kind of commitment to others when you have heard the Lord Jesus Christ say those very same words to you. I will be here. I will be here. I'll be with you when it's easy. I'll be with you when it's hard. I'll be with you when you are passionate. I'll be with you when you're slipping. I'll be with you no matter what's going on in your life. I'm going to tell you something. I am never going away. I will be here. And that's his commitment to your life. That's his commitment to everybody who belongs to him. No matter what, you can count on me. I will be here. Do you have that kind of trust in Jesus today? Do you have a personal relationship? Have you heard that voice speaking to your heart and chosen to trust him as your Savior? Because I'm telling you this, Jesus says, if you call on me, I will come and receive you to myself. You can become a believer, I promise you, if you're just willing to trust me. Maybe today you need to make that decision. Maybe you walked in these doors today and you're not saved, but you want to leave this place. Knowing everything is right with the Lord, knowing that you've heard his promise speak into your heart. In a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and it will be your chance to come and receive him as your Savior. Or maybe you know God is calling you to be part of this fellowship because this is where he wants to bless you. and you need to come and join this church and plant your life in this place, or maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand and we're going to sing our invitation hymn as His Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. You come. Let's stand.